Chapter 11. No More of Me You Knew, My Love. Apostrophe apostrophe, Stephen Smith revisited in Delstow Vicarage, agreeably to his promise. He had a genuine artistic reason for coming, though no such reason seemed to be required. 36 old sedans, of exquisite 15th century workmanship, were rapidly decaying in an I Love the Church, and it became politic to make drawings of their worm-eaten contours ere they were battered past recognition in the turmoil of the so-called restoration. He entered the house at sunset, and the world was pleasant again to the two fair-haired ones. A momentary pang of disappointment had, nevertheless, passed through Elfride when she casually discovered that he had not come that minute post-haste from London, but had reached the neighborhood the previous evening. Surprise would have accompanied the feeling, had she not remembered that several tourists were haunting the coast at this season, and that Stephen might have chosen to do likewise. They did little besides chat that evening, Mr. Swankert beginning to question his visitor, closely yet paternally, and in good part, on his hopes and prospects from the profession he had embraced. Stephen gave vague answers. The next day it rained. In the evening, when 24 hours of Elfride had completely rekindled her admirer's ardor, a game of chess was proposed between them. The game had its value in helping on the developments of their future. Elfride soon perceived that her opponent was but a learner. She next noticed that he had a very odd way of handling the pieces when castling or taking a man. Antecedently she would have supposed that the same performance must be gone through by all players, in the same manner, she was taught by his differing action, that all ordinary players, who learn the game by sight, unconsciously touch the men in a stereotyped way. This impression of indescribable oddness in Stephen's touch culminated in speech when she saw him, at the taking of one of her bishops, push it aside with the taking man instead of lifting it as a preliminary to the move. How strangely you handle the men, Mr. Smith. Apostrophe apostrophe, do I? I am sorry for that. Apostrophe, oh no, don't be sorry, it is not a matter great enough for sorrow. But who taught you to play? Apostrophe, nobody, Miss Swankert, apostrophe, he said. I learned from a book lent me by my friend Mr. Knight, the noblest man in the world. Apostrophe apostrophe, but you have seen people play? Apostrophe apostrophe, I have never seen the playing of a single game. This is the first time I ever had the opportunity of playing with a living opponent. I have worked out many games from books, and studied the reasons of the different moves, but that is all. Apostrophe apostrophe, this was a full explanation of his mannerism. But the fact that a man with a desire for chess should have grown up without being able to see or engage in a game astonished her not a little. She pondered on the circumstance for some time, looking into vacancy and hindering the play. Mr. Swankert was sitting with his eyes fixed on the board, but apparently thinking of other things. Half to himself he said, pending the move of Elfride. Qua finis aut quod me manet stipendium? Apostrophe apostrophe, Stephen replied instantly. Effer. Just as come fide penis luum. Apostrophe apostrophe, excellent prompt gratifying. Apostrophe apostrophe, said Mr. Swankert with feeling, bringing down his hand upon the table, and making three pawns and a knight dance over their borders by the shaking. I was musing on those words as applicable to a strange course I am steering, but enough of that. I am delighted with you, Mr. Smith, for it is so seldom in this desert that I meet with a man who is gentleman and scholar enough to continue a quotation, however trite it may be. Apostrophe apostrophe, I also apply the words to myself, apostrophe, said Stephen quietly. You? The last man in the world to do that, I should have thought. Apostrophe apostrophe, come, apostrophe, murmured Elfride poutingly, and insinuating herself between them, tell me all about it. Come, construe, construe. apostrophe, Stephen looked steadfastly into her face, and said slowly, and in a voice full of a far-off meaning, that seemed quaintly premature in one so young. Quod finis what will be the end, odd, or, quod stipendium what fine, man at me awaits me. Ever speak out, loom I will pay, come fight with faith, just as penis the penalty required. Apostrophe apostrophe, the vicar, who had listened with a critical compression of the lips to this schoolboy recitation, and by reason of his imperfect hearing had missed the marked realism of Stephen's tone in the English words, now said hesitatingly, "By the by, Mr. Smith, I know you'll excuse my curiosity, though your translation was unexceptionably correct and close, you have a way of pronouncing your Latin which to me seems most peculiar. Not that the pronunciation of a dead language is of much importance, yet your accents and quantities have a grotesque sound to my ears. I thought first that you had acquired your way of breathing the vowels from some of the northern colleges. But it cannot be so with the quantities. What I was going to ask was, if your instructor in the classics could possibly have been an Oxford or Cambridge man. Apostrophe apostrophe, yes, he was an Oxford man fellow of St. Cyprian's. Apostrophe apostrophe, really? Apostrophe apostrophe, oh yes, there's no doubt about it. The oddest thing ever I heard of. Apostrophe apostrophe, said Mr. Swancourt, starting with astonishment, that the pupil of such a man apostrophe, the best and cleverest man in England. Apostrophe apostrophe, cried Stephen enthusiastically, that the pupil of such a man should pronounce Latin in the way you pronounce it beats all I ever heard. How long did he instruct you? Apostrophe apostrophe, 4 years. Apostrophe apostrophe, 4 years. Apostrophe apostrophe, it is not so strange when I explain, apostrophe Stephen hastened to say. It was done in this way by letter. I sent him exercises and construing twice a week, and twice a week he sent them back to me corrected, with marginal notes of instruction. That is how I learned my Latin and Greek, such as it is. He is not responsible for my scanning. He has never heard me scan a line. Apostrophe, a novel case, and a singular instance of patience. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the vicar. On his part, not on mine. Ah, Henry Knight is one in a thousand. I remember his speaking to me on this very subject of pronunciation. He says that, much to his regret, he sees a time coming when every man will pronounce even the common words of his own tongue as seems right in his own ears, and be thought none the worse for it, that the speaking age is passing away, to make room for the writing age. Apostrophe apostrophe, both Elfride and her father had waited attentively, to hear Stephen go on to what would have been the most interesting part of the story, namely, what circumstances could have necessitated such an unusual method of education. But no further explanation was volunteered, and they saw, by the young man's manner of concentrating himself upon the chessboard, that he was anxious to drop the subject. The game proceeded. Elfride played by rote, Stephen by thought. It was the cruelest thing, to checkmate him after so much labor, she considered. What was she dishonest enough to do in her compassion? To let him checkmate her. A second game followed, and being herself absolutely indifferent as to the result, her playing was above the average among women, and she knew it, she allowed him to give checkmate again. A final game, in which she adopted the Musio Gambit as her opening, was terminated by Elfride's victory at the 12th move. Stephen looked up suspiciously. His heart was throbbing even more excitedly than was hers, which itself had quickened, when she seriously set to work on this last occasion. Mr. Swancourt had left the room. "You have been trifling with me till now." "Apostrophe apostrophe," he exclaimed, his face flushing. "You did not play your best in the first two games?" Apostrophe, Elfride's guilt showed in her face. Stephen became the picture of vexation and sadness, which, relishable for a moment, caused her the next instant to regret the mistake as he had made. Apostrophe, Mr. Smith, Forgive me. Apostrophe apostrophe she said sweetly. I see now, though I did not at first, that what I have done seems like contempt for your skill. But, indeed, I did not mean it in that sense. I could not, upon my conscience, win a victory in those first and second games over one who fought at such a disadvantage and so manfully. Apostrophe apostrophe, he drew a long breath, and murmured bitterly, ah, you are cleverer than one. You can do everything, I can do nothing. Oh, Miss Swankert! Apostrophe apostrophe, he burst out wildly, his heart swelling in his throat, I must tell you how I love you. All these months of my absence I have worshipped you. Apostrophe apostrophe, he leapt from his seat like the impulsive lad that he was, slid round to her side, and almost before she suspected it his arm was round her waist, and the two sets of curls intermingled. So entirely new was full-blown love to Elfride, that she trembled as much from the novelty of the emotion, as from the emotion itself. Then she suddenly withdrew herself and stood upright, vexed that as he had submitted unresistingly even to his momentary pressure. She resolved to consider this demonstration as premature. You must not begin such things as those, apostrophe she said with coquettish hauteur of a very transparent nature, and you must not do so again, and Papa is coming. Apostrophe apostrophe, let me kiss you only a little one, apostrophe he said with his usual delicacy, and without reading the factitiousness of her manner. No, not one. Apostrophe apostrophe, only on your cheek? Apostrophe apostrophe, no. Apostrophe apostrophe, forehead? Apostrophe apostrophe, certainly not. Apostrophe apostrophe, you care for somebody else, then? Ah, I thought so. Apostrophe, I am sure I do not. Apostrophe apostrophe, nor for me either? Apostrophe apostrophe, how can I tell? Apostrophe apostrophe, she said simply, the simplicity lying merely in the broad outlines of her manner and speech. There were the semitone of voice and half-hidden expression of eyes which tell the initiated, how very fragile is the ice of reserve at these times. Footsteps were heard. Mr. Swankert then entered the room, and their private colloquy ended. The day after this partial revelation, Mr. Swankert proposed a drive to the cliffs beyond Targan Bay, a distance of 3 or 4 miles. Half an hour before the time of departure a crash was heard in the backyard, and presently Worm came in, saying partly to the world in general, part, why to himself, and slightly to his auditors. Eh, sure. That frying of fish will be the end of William Worm. They be at it again this morning same as ever fizz. Apostrophe apostrophe, your head bad again, Worm? Apostrophe apostrophe, said Mr. Swankert. What was that noise we heard in the yard? Apostrophe apostrophe, sir, a weak wambling man am I, and the frying have been going on in my poor head all through the long night and this morning as usual. And I was so dazed why it that down fell a piece of leg wood across the shaft of the pony shay, and splintered it off. Eh, says I feel it, as if 'twas my own shay, and though I've done it, and perish pay is my lot, if I go from here, perhaps I am as independent as one here and there. Apostrophe apostrophe, dear me, the shaft of the carriage broken. Apostrophe apostrophe, cried Elfride. She was disappointed. Stephen doubly so. The vicar showed more warmth of temper than the accident seemed to demand, much to Stephen's uneasiness and rather to his surprise. He had not supposed so much latent sternness could coexist with Mr. Swankert's frankness and good nature. You shall not be disappointed, apostrophe said the vicar at length. It is almost too long a distance for you to walk. Elfride can trot down on her pony, and you shall have my old nag, Smith. Apostrophe apostrophe, Elfride exclaimed triumphantly, you have never seen me on horseback, oh, you must. Apostrophe apostrophe, she looked at Stephen, and read his thoughts immediately. Ah, you don't ride, Mr. Smith? Apostrophe, I am sorry to say I don't. Apostrophe apostrophe, fancy a man not able to ride. " said she rather pertly. The vicar came to his rescue. "That's common enough. He has had other lessons to learn. Now, I recommend this plan. Let Elfride ride on horseback, and you, Mr. Smith, walk beside her." The arrangement was welcomed with secret delight by Stephen. It seemed to combine in itself all the advantages of a long, slow ramble with Elfride, without the contingent possibility of the enjoyment being spoilt by her becoming weary. The pony was saddled and brought round. "Now, Mr. Smith," said the lady imperatively, coming downstairs, and appearing in her riding habit, as she always did in a change of dress, like a new edition of a delightful volume, "you have a task to perform today. These earrings are my very favorite darling ones, but the worst of it is that they have such short hooks that they are liable to be dropped if I toss my head about much, and when I am riding I can't give my mind to them. It would be doing me night service if you keep your eyes fixed upon them." Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.